Gone.
Good. Well, good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, the 15th of January. It's 3 o'clock, and we're conducting our Powder Mountain Water Sewer Improvement District meeting. Present today is Ron Wilson, Bob Barrett, Mike Moyal, and I'm Jim Harvey. So we have four of our five in our quorum here today. The first item always is we like to hear from the public, but seeing no public present, we're going to move to item number C, trustees, to the approval of the consent items for the record, or so that we can, on our tape, is a request for approval of district bills to be paid. Numbers 455 through and including 475 in the amount of $85,369.35. And item number two is a request for approval of the minutes for the meeting held on October 20th, 2018, and the meeting minutes for the public hearing held on November 20th, 2018. Trustees, any comments pertaining to any of the consent items or the warrants or the meeting minutes?
I move that we approve the consent items.
Hearing no discussion and hearing a
second.
Hearing a motion and a second, I'll accept those and now call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those motions carry. Hello.
I had such a good time last time.
Hey, great. How you doing?
Come on, you're over here. Nice to have you here. We're on to item D on our agenda, which is our attorney, Blake Hamilton. Mr. Hamilton.
Yes, so last meeting we had a conversation about standby fees. I put together it's a one-page summary handout that I would like to distribute. I could do that by email or I could have copies made. How would you like me to do that?
Well, one copy needs to go to Carrie. Thank you for presenting that.
Yeah.
Just go ahead, trustees, whatever your pleasure.
It don't matter.
I can email you right now if you would like me.
Sure.
So the purpose of the handout is just to try to get everyone kind of a starting place to have a discussion about this. And if you want to do that at this point, we can do that. Or if you have a different time in the meeting you would like to do that, we can go at your pleasure here.
I probably need to at least read it once.
And that's just me. And I thought, to be really candid with you, I'd like more than just to be able to go over it right, although this is the purpose why we're here. I like time to, a little more time to absorb. So are you saying go to our emails now and then?
In the Powder Mountain box.
Mm-hmm. Do you have that? Do you have those all sent to our emails? You know, with all due respect, trustees and Mr. Hamilton, while you're working on that, what I'd like to do to expedite our meeting, because I'm very well aware of what attorneys charge by the hour, why don't you go ahead and let's go ahead and work on that. I'm gonna move you further down in the agenda, and then we'll go to the manager's report. Roy,
okay.
If you'll go to items 3, 4, 5, and 6, please.
Okay. Just an update. I'll try and do this each week or each month to report on the water and sewer systems and how they're doing and things we've had happen in the past. We had, I think you may see in the bills that there were some new pump pumps that were we purchased. They were lift station pumps. We had a pump that had failed and down by the Sheep Creek area, one of the lift stations, and we had to get one on order and get it in, get that installed, and it has been installed. And then we also got another backup. The one that we took down to be repaired wasn't repairable at the time, so we just grabbed us an extra one, got it in, so we have an emergency motor pump sitting on just in case. So we did that. Also, we've had Paul Krauth, one of our consultants. He is one that had worked with Leland Myers on the sewer system management plan. He used to be an employee of the state also, but he has been helping us doing collection of particulates of materials and stuff that come down the sewer system, analyzing the loading rate on the sewer lagoon so that we can develop some history and life expectancy of the lagoons. And that's all, again, a part of the sewer system management plan, for one, but it's something that we have to do as part of our due diligence. So he's been working on that. The last thing is we had one of the, we've had problems with some of the lift stations and telemetry, and also some of in the grinder station up on the top of the mountain. We've had one of our devices that actually monitors the flow going through it that's failed electronically, something went wrong, and they've had a hard time getting it back online. They can take manual readings on it, but it was just something that kept a log of what was going on a regular basis. So it's not critical or anything, but that's one of those items that I have in the agenda on the budget, to the $27,000 for sewer system improvements and in order to fix those kind of devices this next year. That's all on an entirely different type of SCADA system, all of the old sewer system all the way down to the lagoons, and we want to put that on the same system that our other SCADA system is on through the rest of the mountain. And so the guys are working on that right now.
It was a dial-up system or something crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we'll go to a more modern one. It'll be Misha, and it'll be a part of the present SCADA system, so they can look at one and then have more real-time information. We'll probably put on a camera or two in some places we can watch what's going on. So anyway, that was something we knew we would do, but this is just, you know, anticipating this, something like this might have happened. Plus, we also wanted the ability to, in an easier way, monitor the lift stations down in the Snowflake and the Sheep Creek area in case something were to fail. And so this is our plan to fix these kind of problems and to get them modernized in this next season. So that's the sewer system. On the water system, for the most part, that's been going on great. We'll talk more about the water reduction, peak day use reduction later on in the meeting. We've really focused on that this last month or so to get that all done. But as far as the wells, of course, we're getting heavy usage right now on the Hidden Lake well. It's been doing fine. It's definitely drawing the aquifer down. We had been getting down into around just a little under 100 feet in the aquifer where our critical stages we start watching. We don't like to get below that. But it's been staying in about that level, comes back up, but it is recharging as it sits for a while, which is a good sign. It means there's water flowing into it and it's working. But the rest of the system's been good. I've heard from the guys, they said they thought that maybe they recognized on the SCADA that there's maybe another leak showing up because they're starting to see a more constant flow. One thing I don't know is it Alita's Lodge?
Oh, Columbine.
Columbine, yeah. There's a couple of those, according to Evan, there's a couple of the older lodges where they just turn the water on and leave it on so the pipes don't freeze. And it could be all of that going on, and unfortunately, some of those meters weren't good, and they weren't taking good readings, and so you could go through 100,000 gallons in a month's time just wasting it. So this next year or two, our plan is to replace all the meters that don't have real-time reads in them, get those all updated, and then we're also working right now on the real-time data collection system, so that we'll be able to see all the meters in the mountain, what they're doing real time, be able to have that actually show up down at our office. We'll be looking at them, so the computer will actually be gathering the data off the meters all the time. We'll be watching what they're doing, and that'll fix most of these questions when we do our water audits. How much water is being mined out of the aquifer, how much is really being used, how much is being wasted someplace.
I like that.
So we're getting actually, the exercise to go through the water, the peak day use reduction thing was difficult. It's extensive, but it's just like any audit. It just makes you look at everything. And so we learned a lot from it, but it also helps us to see where the water usage is at, which meters need to be fixed, what's right and wrong. There were some errors also in the way the information is being collected. I'm not sure how everyone was doing it, but it had a data point that was, it was one decimal point was off, which gave us all kinds of bogus numbers in our water usage, and we had to go back and refigure out what that was and get that all fixed. So,
do all of our connections have meters that work that we can read?
Yeah, either manually or electronically.
You know, because our price schedule for water is intended to send a pretty severe price signal for people that just willy-nilly run water.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, I mean, if you look at the schedule, it's pretty punitive for leaks.
I think
this
new one, Carrie just billed Columbine, didn't you? Pretty hefty bill.
Well, okay, so Columbine, evidently they have, Columbine has, I guess, 8 units. She's only been being billed for 2. She's now being billed for 8. She's not going to be happy when she gets that. And there was another one, I think it was Powder Ridge. Powder Ridge came in with an overage, and it was not a nice one.
Yeah, this will be a $1,000 bill for the month.
Oh,
so how far back do we go? So she's now getting a bill for 8, where she was getting a bill for 2.
Right. So that, again, brings us back to the point we had with when we did the people down in Sheep Creek. And we had Chris here at the time. And it boils down to, unless Blake can tell me something different, you have the right to go back 4 years unless there's a written contract, and then you can go back 6. So do we not? I billed her as of January when I found out, you know, unbeknownst to me, evidently, according to the meters, when we were going through all of the reads, there's one per building because she's getting billed for 2. So there's one per building, and each one of the buildings has 4 lots or 4 units. She's only been being billed per meter is what I was told.
Are we talking Sundown or Columbine?
No, Columbine.
Sorry, trustees, I don't mean to be
one building, though.
Columbine's only one building with, how many rooms are in there? Do you know?
I think there's 4.
Where did you get your information from?
Evan. So how many rooms are actually in there? It's one building.
I think there's 4 units.
I think there's 4.
So there's only 4, not 8?
I think so.
Because he told me there was 8.
I think there's 8.
He's thinking of Sundown.
Is there 8?
But are they simple hotel rooms? Are they kitchenettes? Is it fair for
I don't know. I've never been in Columbine, but if you actually look it up on Gizmo, it shows 8. Each one of them is individually owned, too.
Separate ownership?
Separate ownership.
It's going to be Sunday.
No,
I'm not looking. I can pull it up right here and show you.
Are you sure you're not looking at
Let's make sure we're looking at the right one.
Moon Ridge is 8.
Moon Ridge is 8.
I'm only, and so is Moon Ridge.
And it's 2 buildings.
Okay, you tell me, because I was told this was Columbine. I'll pull it up and show you.
Columbine is just over.
Well, these guys will know.
Yeah, they will. And like I said, I was only going by what I was told. So if it's wrong, then we'll fix it. But
both Moon Ridge and Sundown have 8 units.
Right.
Since you got off the Sundown.
But are they separate ownerships? Or are they condos?
Yes.
Condos?
They're separately owned. Columbine is a small little 4-unit hotel with 1 connection, I think. 1 connection.
Very simple.
Very simple.
It should be easy to figure out where this water
is. Once we get the metering kind of all figured out, and get, we're gonna retrofit a lot of stuff as we redo the water system in front of those buildings.
Can we go back to a point in the past where we've read and then figure out how much water's been used?
Probably. Yeah, probably. But there should be a separate billing on each one of them also. But as we went through the exercise of all this, that's when you start really digging into everything and how many units there are and how many ERCs equal and all that stuff. And so Don got a little bit involved in that, in the ERC count, commercial units and everything. But it's again, I just wanted to let you know that whole exercise has been good. We've developed a system we think that allows us to go forward now with the any other evaluations of our water resources and peak day uses, and just modify it on a regular basis. So that's been good. So that's the extent of the water systems and sewer system presently. But other than what we're not sure about that one leak that might show up, we're just watching things. We'll go out and start doing some leak detection in the evenings when it's quiet. Start going around all the servers. We'll see if our device can find it. And then I've got Don here, but we're planning on meeting tomorrow. See a number of items on the agenda, and it's to fix a lot of these things we talked about. We weren't able to meet prior to this board meeting, but tomorrow we'll meet and we'll look at standby fees and consulting costs, services costs, use of our employees and what we can have them do, that kind of stuff. I don't know. There's just a number of things. I wanted to go look at the future plans, their master plan one more time, get back on schedule with it.
Pardon me, and I know that we've seen the warrants, and I've seen those. Did they pay their bill, what they agreed to do?
They did.
Okay.
They paid the standby.
Yeah, paid the
they
standby
paid the
fees.
Part that we asked them to pay.
Yeah.
We still have the outstanding for the consulting fees, which is still on our radar. And we still obviously intend to pay it, but we did pay that Friday after the meeting. We paid the larger one.
Yeah. It goes along with, just for me, it goes a long way. When a guy does what he says he's going to do, when he says he's going to do it.
We're trying to do more of that.
So hopefully going forward, and we'll meet with Paul and Jed at the same time, but we'll talk quite extensively about those consulting fees. We're going to try and see if we can find a way to consolidate those, do as much as we can, our in-house, whatever we don't need to have him do. If we can get some of these master plan approvals, those kind of things done, then the stuff that we can do, very quick reviews and quick submittals of, we could give feasibility letter approvals or will serve letters very quickly now with the additional resource and the sewer system running and everything. Should allow Summit to move along quicker with their developments without holding them up at all or anything. And then another thing we were going to talk about or want to talk about was the schedule for Bloomington Well. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to go make sure that well's up and running, the second source that the state's going to require, and as we move forward, we want to make sure that's all in place. And then we'll talk a little bit about the new district well and where we're at with that, and bring Dawn up to date on it, so he knows what's all happening with it. I think I have one more item, I don't remember what it was, but anyway, that's that item on the agenda, and that'll take care of an awful lot of the items we talked about last month, and try and move that relationship along a little bit better with the Summit, and make sure that we develop a little bit closer working relationship. Well, I know the other item was for us to decide on a regular basis how we're going to be meeting. So whether we do it weekly or whatever we decide to do, it's been about that now, and we'll try and see if we can work through most issues that we have and get it taken care of. We should have that report back on from the state that's been submitted, by the way, on that water source reduction, and this last item is on here. So the report was sent, the request had been made. Prior to the holidays, we had submitted the document, but then Cameron, the state wanted a little bit more information, so she sent back some more requests for information, and it meant another several days of digging through stuff and reanalyzing numbers and looking back at our old records, and it was a little bit extensive to dig through that stuff and get it done, and Paul did that, and so we got it done, resubmitted to him. But prior to the resubmitting the additional documentation, he said, what do you think about the reduction? She said, you'll get it. She said, we just need to submit this other different information because I've got to be able to defend you as I go talk with my bosses. So I asked Paul, I said, so what's the feeling? What do you think? He said, you'll get it. You'll get the reduction. It'll happen. And so it was extensive. The report took a long time to put together, but the idea was to do it so we had credibility with the state. Be very careful what we did so that we just didn't throw something out and they go, oh, you know what you're doing, give me a bunch of garbage information and you're fighting with them. We wanted to be good enough and present a good enough document that it can be modified in current and upcoming years, because we have to analyze this every 3 years. And then we'd be looking at a regular basis, but allow us to add other charts and just keep filling in and create a history without having to recreate the document and everything else. And it helps us, it'll help Summit and help all the rest of the developers up there to watch the resource and how it's being utilized and stuff. So.
Right. Did she request anything after your 9 January report? Or was the 9 January report the
final
response? Okay,
that's final.
So she's requested no more information. Okay.
No, so right now they're evaluating it, but just based on the conversations, it looks good.
Okay.
Well, that's good news, because the sequence would be that Summit can now plat those lots and market those lots because the source capacity has been demonstrated, right?
Yeah.
And that covers both Bobcat Ridge and Overlook?
It would at the 430. We still need to get clarification from the county, because what documentation then needs to go from the state to the county for the county to say, you've got capacity? Because they're still asking for something that the state says they don't produce, and that's a capacity assessment.
It's not letting
me
in.
We don't do that.
Yeah.
So we have to.
We'll figure that out.
I think that that's just a matter of what documentation the county's going to need, and that's all.
And then we get that master plan reviewed and approved. And I know that state, if that's at that point, then the district can do all of the approving of the subsequent phases. We'll get that done, and there's one other piece of that whole thing we have to do, but that'll allow us the developments to happen much quicker and easier, and just things will be easier for the district and the developers in the future. I think that'll be a big, that should give, I mean, it's almost doubles the amount of ERCs that would be available out of each one of the wells.
Yeah,
so that's huge. It's a lot.
Would a similar process need to come into play when the Powder Mountain well comes online?
It's already included.
Or is that all included in the anticipated?
Assuming, yeah, I think they're assuming a certain volume of water, but if once we get that up tested right, yeah, we'll have to sit back and look at it and see.
Because that's going to be important moving forward for other developers,
so
of course.
So the amount per lot, the peak they use per lot, will stay the same. It just means that there will be less water available out of that well, which means there'll be less ERCs available in that area.
Okay.
The developer, if to get their second well up and producing whatever that ends up being when it's up and running, those will all tell us about how many ERCs are available
in
the district. But yes.
We've got production of Bloomington and Powder Mountain well. Are those estimates? Especially the Powder Mountain.
Bloomington's pretty close.
That 300 gallons per minute is pretty
close. Yeah, that was actual pump test. We haven't completed our pump test yet. We're
so
guessing.
Is Paul's estimate on that production?
Yeah, we'll just see. I don't know where it's at.
Okay.
We'll see what that does. If it actually produces what he thinks it does. But
okay. But
Bloomington, I think we're fine with it. So they did an extensive enough test on it to see what it's going to produce. The only problem they've got is getting the well outfitted, and then there's some water quality problems to resolve. And whatever it takes, they'll either filter it or test it or run it until they get the quality up and the state's happy. We just have to do that before we put it in the system, but Don said he's already figuring out how to do that one way or another.
Yeah, I think what the state has approved on Bloomington is lower. When I say approved, what they've got is more like 200 gallons per minute.
Oh.
But that, when we tested it at 300, everyone's really confident that we get to 300.
Mm-hmm.
What's currently been approved as their safe yield or whatever is lower than that.
Typically 80%.
Yeah, well, and that gets it down, that's at the 200, so.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take steps to get it to 300 and prove out the 300, but we're confident, you know, based on the flows that we've seen, they were thinking we could do higher than that.
Wow.
So,
yeah, that sounds good.
And there was no flow from Hidden Lake into Bloomington?
No, there's been no connection.
No,
no drawdown when they've been doing
Gizmo.
That testing.
The internet's
and that'll be monitored, obviously.
Obviously, yeah. That's good.
You can't use it. You can't either.
Wi-Fi in here is not working. I can't pull anything up.
Well, so anyway, those would be good things when we get that all done. We know where it's going to be. It'll give us some pretty good numbers going forward. I really hope that'll help the situation out for the development process, and it'll allow the developers to get their stuff done as they need to. I think it would be huge for us.
Good work.
Yeah. It's not a fun process to go through, but again, everybody knew that there's a possibility of that, and they kept pushing it, and I just feel like it's probably the best thing. And we'll watch it very closely. If we see anything changing, more people living on the mountain, the demands keep going up, we'll start pulling back, and the state will watch us too. So we'll just have to see if development and who lives there stays the same. The one thing it does help with your process, Don, is
I think I'm getting internet access. I'm having a hard time connecting my internal server.
See, and me too. I can't get anything.
Okay. Are you guys on Weber County Open?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you trying? Okay.
You could set up a hotspot in your phone.
So, all right. What else you have?
That's good. We're down to the water reduction request. And again, you guys have got copies of that. You've had a chance to see it. If you have any questions, let us know. We'll keep informed if there anything happens with the state, any pushbacks or anything. But I think as far as we tell, let's talk to them, we're fine.
Very good.
You know, Just a quick item on this water sizing is because it's included as an attachment, this map that I talked about. Did you have a chance to look at that at all, Roy?
Yeah.
Am I missing something here? That's not where Mike's property is. Sunrise Development is, it's not Sunrise.
Yeah, I don't know much. Don, can you take a look at that? He'll probably.
This is like haywire. I mean, to the point where we've got to talk to CRS about what we're trying to do here.
I've got it.
Does that make any sense to you?
So when you click on the Weaver County Open, does it let you?
I picked up on that late last night.
What is it? You're wondering what's down.
It's the first of the foldouts, our second of the foldouts.
I've got mine going okay.
Well, I don't know the name of the.
That's Sundown.
That's Sundown.
That is Sundown.
That's Sundown. Moyal's property is way. So if we're submitting this to somebody, these particular foldouts, whatever you want to call them, maps, that particular page is egregiously wrong and surprising.
That's surprising property.
Yeah. Surprisingly.
That's
was this
overlooking Bobcat is accurate, but yeah.
No.
Property isn't.
Mike, you see what we're talking about?
Yeah.
That's not where your property is it?
I'm not either one of you actually.
I know.
No, he's got up on top.
Has this been submitted to the state? I mean, the date is 11/13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
yeah, this still has been sent in.
Revision.
I don't know. I mean, I don't.
Whether it matters or not.
I don't think it'll make any difference to them.
But that's included in our master planning documents as well, isn't it, that map?
Oh, Don, does this look like something you guys have?
Master planning that I've been involved in has been Talisman doing it. It hasn't been Paul. So,
So Talisman's is the one that's right, and then the CRS one is the one that's wrong. Because the Talisman doesn't show any of that stuff in there.
There is a little bit that she has.
I had not seen that full report.
No, I haven't. I'll have to check out. I mean, it's wrong.
I mean, for sure. It's mislabeled and it's misplaced. And if it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. But in terms of CRS's due diligence, it doesn't really give me that much confidence.
Yeah, it's probably still the stuff for the old districts, what it's for. I think you're showing the old system. I'll just tell him that TA needs to look at that and submit a clean drawing on it, but
I mean, you don't want to queer the deal with the state over something like this and have them like all of a sudden go whoa mule. But by the same token, should be
right.
Okay, let's while you're doing that, we're good with the manager's report.
Yep.
Blake, are you ready to go on to your piece now?
Well, I think it's listed here in the business items, so do you want to just start going through the business
Let's go
items?
That's great. Well, item number 7 is a discussion and or action on a resolution to purchase agreement with Zions for a new vehicle. Roy?
Yeah, so we've talked about this before, but again, with a new employee and only really having the service truck to drive, we are going to need to get another truck. And so we talked to Zions to get a check and see if we had credibility to even do any purchases or lease purchases. And we do. They actually never tell us whether the Hacks had enough for one or two, did he?
No, he said that he didn't. He said he was going to put it in for two.
But anyway, so the payments on these, on the leases, wouldn't come due until next year, until 2020. And so we didn't show them in the budget, anticipating in case something like this happened and we had the chance to get the trucks. But we'll need to pick up at least the one, and we'll wait and see what Zions does. But we needed to have the board look at this and see if you're comfortable with it. Got to do it for one for sure. If we can afford to, we'll try and do it. But we'll get rid of eventually that old truck that Evans had. Now, the way these trucks, too, also can work on the type of trucks over the years. I did this when I worked for Roy Water Conservancy. If you buy the right truck, you can swap them out every single year for about the price of tires. And sometimes even make money on the deals because the districts can buy them cheaper than the public can by several thousand, 10 to 12,000.
What do you mean the right truck?
You
don't buy a cheap one. You buy the one that works for the...
If you buy a cheap one, people won't purchase it again when you're ready to sell it. But if you get one that just has a better looking, then you get better than the cheapest model that they have, kind of mid-grade, and then you have to make sure you put things on it like maybe power mirrors, or you add features in
convenience.
Yeah, convenience things. Somebody goes, it's a nice truck. You can resell those every single time. And we did it they've been doing it since I was there at the Roy Water, but we figured out what the sweet spot was in buying those trucks at those discounts, because what happens when the state purchases them like this on a statewide contracts, they wipe out all of the flooring costs and all of the dealer sales costs. So basically that's when you drive a new vehicle off the lot and you lose several thousand dollars, is because that was all the fluff that was in there that you were paying for. So public entities don't pay for any of that. And so when you go to sell the truck at the end of the year, you take care of it, take it back in to the dealer, or you put it on the market for sale. You can come back out, you can sell it for as much as you paid for it, or very close, and then you stay in a new truck every year. You always keep new equipment. So you get the first ones paid for, then you stay in new trucks.
So you're looking for Zions to infuse the capital.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. But again, we do need to purchase at least one.
You talked to us about this, Roy, probably 6 months ago, about you having a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Does this vehicle, is that now what we've got?
This one's mostly
I'm sorry,
for
what's
the workers?
His name again?
Jed.
Jed.
Yeah, this is for Jed. If we can, we'll see what happens with, we do our loans on our well and other things we need first before I worry about another truck. We've got to have at least one.
So you need a resolution today, is that what you want?
Yeah, and that allows Zions to move ahead
to
and get it funded and stuff for us.
Are you looking for like a lift truck? Has a lift on it?
No,
and all that stuff? And
just a like 3/4 ton
pickup.
Yep.
Just a pickup.
3/4 ton.
Mm-hmm.
Diesel, I assume,
right? Mm-hmm. This one we won't get diesel. It's too expensive, but just a 3/4 ton truck is all we need.
Yeah, the information under tab, whatever it is, 7, gives you the dollar amounts and kind of what it was, an estimate of what he was going to have, if that helps.
Yeah, they're about 37,000.
He's got it for 38.5, but it came in at just a little under that, and that kind of gives you an idea of what you're looking at. And then just double it for the two.
Well, now you're talking one, now you just jumped to two in a mighty hurry.
Okay,
holy cow, we got a hopscotch.
I'll slide it
like,
in.
I'm not. Wow.
While we're getting the approvals from Zions, we did it on two so that the ability to finance them is there. But again, we want to make sure that we have money for our wells, our water lines, and everything we're doing first. Those are priorities.
Tell me, is it a four door?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm not.
Chevy, 3/4 ton, four drive. After that, they just have, I think the LT option is the one that works the best, we found.
Not the XL?
No. Get about mid-range.
I'm going to tell you right now, I haven't been looking at that, but I've been looking at used trucks, and I haven't been able to find a 2015 equipped the way I wanted to for 40 grand.
Hurts.
Not the way I want it equipped for 40 grand. I want a Platinum or a King Ranch or a Limited, and you can't find them.
Have you
Yeah, I've gone every. I've bought an app on my phone. I searched nationally. I can't find him.
Wow.
Yeah, I know the guys. It hurts a long time. Yeah, thank you. But no. Okay.
So your plan is to swap it out every year? Is that
if we can get? Yeah, that's the hope, is to do that every year. As long as the economy doesn't go south on you and everything else, you can trade them out every year, and that way you stay in a brand new truck, no maintenance. Basically changing them out for the price of tires and sometimes a profit.
Is there a program that does that, or is it kind of a hope and a prayer?
No, it's the program that the
dealer has, or the
yeah,
state
they understand that. They do with public.
We buy it for a state funding model type, right. And so we get it for.
Yeah, you save several, sometimes $10,000 off the sticker price right up front.
Right.
And then you buy it about the right options, get the right price, and then you sell it just about the time, the end of year, say about November-ish, you sell your truck. Well, still in the same year with just a few miles on it, and then you order your new one.
No, I got that. Yep. But I guess my question is, are we going to be in the truck selling business, or do we...
Sometimes.
So we're going to be advertising trucks to sell?
Sometimes. Weber Basin does it. Yeah, they'll surplus their equipment, like we saw in our policies. They'll surplus the equipment, and we'll sometimes put up on the newspaper, we have a truck for sale. And sometimes the dealers will just buy them back, too.
Okay, that's
if they have a demand for them, you can swap
like
them out.
That.
You just take them and trade them into them. And
it doesn't matter where we don't. You don't pay tax. And so.
No. That's the other thing, we save taxes.
What's the payment on the money?
$15,000.
Annually?
Mm-hmm. That's for two of them. I've won about $8,000.
Yeah.
And for 4 years. So again, once you get them paid for, you're not buying trucks. And or if you do pay for the new truck, it's just a small amount of money.
So come.
Yeah. Yep. And I know I did this before with my trustees. I worked the other entity, and they're like, it's not gonna work. I don't see it in the did all the time.
$1,200 a month. We're still trying to get the money out of Dawn.
So you're looking for an authorization to proceed?
Yeah.
Trustees' comments. Mike, what do you say about this?
I'm still trying to figure out how Summit got all those Escalades that way here from Chevy. That was before your time.
Yeah, they were still there when I first came on.
Yeah.
They were nice.
They were nice. They're done.
So the big
they
thing I need is that
real nice.
The recommendation is to give us the authorization. I'll bring back the request for the purchase of even a second one, but we've got to get the first one, and we just need the authorizations for Zions to move ahead and get us approved with our funding. But we've got to buy the one truck.
Is the current truck completely kaput?
All but. Yeah, the service engine soon light's been on. We've had it in the dealership. It's got $1,500
on it. How many miles are on it?
Not a clue.
Over.
It's got a few.
Yeah, it's probably closer to 100,000.
Many? It's way over that.
What year is it?
2004.
So you're still going to get $5,000 or $6,000 out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you got some seed money to put towards it. So that I'm just looking at the expense and the ongoing cost to this district. That's all I'm saying to you. Trustees, I'll you can discuss more, but I'll entertain it.
But this truck you're purchasing is not a replacement for that truck. This is a new truck for the new worker.
Yeah, it's probably will end up being the replacement of that truck, though, going forward.
And you're still using your own vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm good.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Who said me too?
Okay.
Second?
I didn't say a word.
On second the motion?
Second off. Well, okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we explore purchasing a new truck.
Okay. A meaning singular. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there, before we...
It's all right. I'll call for discussion.
You said the time of year to buy is this time of year, right?
For us right now, anytime is going to be important, but anytime during the 1 year, you make the purchase, but you sell your truck in the same year.
back
and
in November.
And then get the new one ordered the next season, then plan for the budget to get the new truck, whatever it takes, whether it's a few thousand dollars or it ends up being nothing. If we need to, if not, we stay with the one truck and you just pay it off.
I'm not asking about the one, I'm thinking two, because you had mentioned you needed a car back when you started. I remember I came into a meeting, I wasn't on the board, but I remember, and I felt for you because I wouldn't want to be driving up there in my vehicle.
I do as little as I can. I'll tell you what, it's just, you break through your smoking or engine, smoking me the way.
twice a year I'm doing brakes and... Mm-hmm. You know, I've got
the thing I worry about really is if these guys are on call and somebody's not there, my past experience is you better have some equipment with you. I can't imagine pulling up with my little Kia with a valve key hanging out the window and some shovels out there and planning on doing anything. I've seen guys do that and it doesn't work. It doesn't go well. Usually by the time you get back and get the right tools, bad things have happened. And so there'll come a time when we need to be smart enough to get all the right equipment, and it'll be that and tractors and everything else. But you need to have the right equipment, especially for any type of first response, and Jed's going to be that for sure, depending on what happens with our other employee. And if he needs backup, then I've got to be there. But if I end up going and he's not readily available, again, better make sure you have the right tools. It gets dangerous and expensive.
There'll be some more expense as we get to outfitting, yeah. And I like where you're going with this. What I'd like to do is there's a motion on the floor. I'd like to, Kerry, have this placed on our agenda again for July to revisit what we've done and then look at that again, because I think you're smart. If the money's good today, it'll be there in 6 months. So we go back and maybe look at, see how it's working, see if we've got the other one, and then look for something.
So you're talking about get the one?
One for right now would
yep.
be.
That's good.
You good with that?
I appreciate that.
I'd like to visit it again. I'd like to see how it's going. I agree with you. As far as I'm concerned, though, let's get Roy a Tesla so we can use that regeneration all the way down the mountain. We don't have to use it.
It works good. My son bought a new Tesla. Incredible. He has solar panels and he powers the car with the solar panels, and they do drive everywhere. Drove all over Boston by itself. It scared me to death, but it did it. They are a miracle.
There we go. So we've got a motion and a second. I'm going to call for the vote. Thing. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I'm going to nay on that for right now, but just it's okay. Motion passes. I worry about money. But I'm glad you're getting yourself a nice new truck. Action on a resolution of sewer management plan.
So all of you have had a chance to look at that. We've sent it out to you. Sometimes required by our insurance company and by the state. The district had as far as I can tell from the records, they had a sewer system management plan in place, but I could never find the original document. I did find the copy that looked like they had filled out. This document allows or requires the district to be very proactive, do a lot of preventive maintenance, and then these are all the laws that the state requires to follow to make sure the sewer system's operating properly. We're doing all of our due diligence. Everything.
These were the documents we looked at last month.
Mm-hmm.
That now we've come to a head.
Yeah.
Got it.
So now we need to approve that and implement it and start living by it.
Any questions come up, trustees, as you've looked over the last month?
Yeah, I have one.
Thank you.
Does our insurance with trust cover the no-fault sewage backup claims program?
Yeah, that was part of the reason they asked if we have this, is because it affects their liability.
So trust is going to insure us for that?
Yes, I actually filled out the paperwork for it.
Okay. My perspective, I thought it was a good plan. You know, I'm not a sewage expert by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a good common sense plan.
Mm-hmm. It requires us to be very vigilant and diligent in what we do.
Sewer in people's basements is a bad thing. They said that like
really
10 times.
Yeah, and also...
I thought brown snow was bad.
It also has some policies for us to follow, just in case that happens, and how we handle each one of them. Which is all good. It helps to eliminate any lawsuits.
I really like the maintenance plan that was prescribed in there, because it's an extensive maintenance program that someone's going to have to do. Mm-hmm. It's pretty laid out.
Yep. Yeah. And it's been tried and proven, tested by many public entities throughout the state. So it's something we've got to do. I just need, I go with motion to approve.
Yeah, motion, Bob.
I move that we approve the resolution for sewer management plan.
My error in asking for a trustee, I apologize. I have a motion by trustee Barrett, is there a second?
I'll second.
I have a second by trustee Scrotell, if there any more discussion, call for the vote, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye, thank you. Let's move on, please. RFQ Professional Services and Engineering for your firm.
This comes up about every month, or about getting our, going through basically the bidding process for an engineer. And so it's put back on here to have some more discussion about it. I'm gonna suggest, Rick's recommendation is that we do this probably still in another couple of months. We're working right now, working through getting our water line funded and our well finished up and those kind of things. But in order for us to do our due diligence, basically do our bidding on the professional services for an engineer, as far as I can see, that's never happened. And so we need to at least go through the process. The CRS may be the successful person, but we'll entertain as many as we can get out there and evaluate them and see who works the best.
Before you issue that RFQ, I'd like to be involved with, and maybe trustees, if you'll trust the executive committee, which consists of trustee Barrett and myself, I'd like to review the RFQ before you send that out. Trustees, sorry to command so much discussion here, but as we've talked about this with Roy and with Bob recently, you know, I just felt like the timing and the next, to push this right now, I think we can wait a month or two. I think we're in good shape, but I do feel like it would be responsible for each of us acting as trustees for this board to exercise what would be responsible, is viewed as responsible. But I think we can just take pause for at least a 30, 60, 90 days. But I would like to see the document in that RFQ and move forward. So, Board, do you have any discussion on that?
I'd like to know who's going to write the RFQ, because these aren't simple.
No, no.
So there's no way we're going to get an RFQ out probably before the May time frame, is my guess.
Probably about right.
And so that'll allow CRS to continue to work the issues that they're continuing to work. But are you going to need professional help to write the RFQ?
I do. I talked to, actually Paul has written a number of them, and he would do that for us. He knows what we're looking for.
Because
he may do that.
There is a provision in our bylaws where you can have, well, for example, CRS help you with the RFQ, but there's certain things that he's going to have to do to be able to bid on it, if
mm-hmm.
he wants to bid on it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's provisions in there. He has to make statements, and you have to agree to it. So if we're going to do that, we need to make him well aware in advance that of what he's going to have to do to if he wants to bid on this RFQ.
Yeah, I suspect I could find others that will help us on it also if we need. I'm friends with a lot of district managers who've gone through it, and I'll just find out who they've used.
And that's my understanding, is that there are other districts, and that's part of the reason I think the water conference that's upcoming is to be able to find other examples in the state or in the area that would give us some good thing. I want to be careful to treat CRS fairly.
Right.
But whenever I sit at a basketball game, I don't like being homered.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Okay.
Okay.
So with that, I think let's continue to move forward, but I don't think there needs to be any action on that item, correct?
And it allows also, the biggest reason to put it on the agenda too is that that everybody knows that we are moving ahead with this and we're aware of it and we're doing something about it.
Very good. Let's move on to item 11, discussion and or action on a feasibility process and standby fees. Oh, here we go.
We did pass the audit.
Right there.
Pass the audit.
Wait, there's number 10.
Oh, did we do it? Oh, call for audit.
Sorry, audit call. Sorry, discussion and or action for call for audit.
So it's up to the trustees to call for the audit of the management and make a motion to do that and or who we use and everything else. So we just need that to happen. I think in the past they've just call somebody and got your financials, but it should be the board that's supposed to be making that decision. The audit is on us.
Okay, trustees.
Oh, by the way, so the present CPA, the one that did the report and has all the records, he indicated that he would do it for the same price, if I remember.
Yeah, we have a contract with him for the same price. Okay, so let's back up just a little bit before you do that.
It's not that James dude, is it?
No.
I was just going to say that. No. Just heard again.
No.
Okay.
Amy, who is doing our reconciliation, we are changing payroll companies, just a heads up. We're changing payroll. And we're going to have the CPA do the payroll. So Amy will do the reconciliation and the payroll, but their firm will have one of the partners do the actual financials. No change, no nothing, just the firm itself is doing, you know, the one of the partners, because she can't do as long as she's doing that. So it's, we've had a contract with them. They're not going to charge us anything different unless you want to do something different.
I don't have an opinion on that.
Let's call for it.
Do you, Ron?
I don't.
Mike?
Well, I think it's prudent.
Mark?
No.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we call for audit.
You want us to call out a company, or do you want to leave it open-ended?
Probably I'll just say who it's going to be, and we'll get them on board. And get them
Christensen,
going.
Palmer, and Andros.
Christensen, Palmer, and Andros.
So what I'm hearing is a motion to use Christensen, Palmer, and Andros for an audit. Is that correct? Is there a second?
I second it.
Have a second by Trustee Wilson. Hearing no more discussion, I'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
My motion carries. Now, we get to go on to item number 11, discussion and or action on feasibility process and standby fees.
So I unfortunately wasn't able to get my email working, but I have...
We printed it up.
We printed it up.
Hard copy in front of you, and that's just kind of a starting point, but... Last month, we had a discussion about wanting to talk about when we issue feasibility letters and when we start assessing standby fees. So, there's not a lot of law with respect to this, but there is the property ombudsman opinion. That's one, you know, property ombudsman opinion on the one that really carries a lot of weight with respect to this area. So I've laid out kind of the bullet points of what we have to think about, and would entertain your thoughts on your policy moving forward. So
let me ask a question.
Okay.
The issue had to do with whether we were going to have adequate source, is what I understood. And with this water resizing, and if that gets approved, then that's no longer an issue because we will have source. So standby fees can be charged. Is that not, am I missing something there?
Well, I think the pushback possibly from some was that the feasibility letter was a stretch to get the standby fees on the feasibility letter as opposed to a will serve letter when you typically have your lots platted. The process that we use in the development process should allow, if the source is there and all the other infrastructure is in place, the process should be they bring us their preliminary plans, or the county asks for our review of them. We give them a feasibility letter, take that back to get whatever their final approvals are to get going and get their lots platted. Right. I don't know what the timing of that might be, a month or two, I guess. But
That's been a long time.
I mean, how long we've been in the process?
No, I mean, what's the timing between you getting submitting your preliminary and getting
months.
Your final to
well,
get
in
going?
This case, it's been months because we haven't been able to go further because we don't have the capacity.
Yeah.
You know, and on top of that, we've had to pay for the consultants to do the study to get the capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So, to the degree I could speak to it, I mean, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, Once the capacity is there, that's, and this is a little bit different. I was taking a position last time that I really think the lots need to be platted because there's not a legal entity there. It creates a little bit of confusion because like our preliminary plat with a different number than our final plat, it was off a little bit, right? So we were paying on the preliminary number, ended up decreasing a little bit. I'm fine if we come and say, listen, we want you to set aside, and I'm guessing most developers in the mountain would say, if you're gonna set aside capacity for me, I understand that we're going to pay for that.
Right.
But right now, the capacity will be there shortly. It's just in the past it wasn't, and we haven't been able to do what we need to do because of that.
So in conjunction with that, a couple of things that the district has to do, even in from feasibility to the will serve, is we're still chasing legal costs and infrastructure and messing with engineers and all related to this stuff. The district still stays in operation. And our responsibilities and all of our efforts would be considerably different if we didn't have to do any of that. We just sit and collected money from the existing customers. So it does create expense for us from start to finish, wherever that start is. And that district's effort is to recover those costs, whether it be attorneys or ours or equipment or whatever we end up doing to chase after those new projects for the developers.
Okay.
And that's partially why the feasibility letter and starting to collect the standby fees right off the bat is that's the way it pays the bills. The only choice is if we don't and it's not paid that way, I guarantee it, you as homeowners will pay for it.
Okay.
Out of your budget. So you just have to choose which way you want to go.
We're using the standby fees so that we can get the developer to the point where we can charge them standby fees.
It's really about what happens. Get them the will serve letters and everything else, and that's what you have staff and people for.
The developer ends up paying for all those professional fees anyway. Right? They're billed for the professional fees associated with developing source capacity, design for expansion. Isn't that the developer's? I mean, this is where I think last meeting I was kind of articulating a position where there seems to be a pretty definitive break where if you are a single lot or even a multifamily lot that's not bringing source capacity, that's not doing a system expansion, it seems like that's a logical break where if you were just utilizing solely district resources and capacity is reserved, it should start at feasibility. If you are going through, you know, whether it's Mike or whether it's us or anyone else up there, if you're going to do the engineering, develop sources, to get yourself to the point you could actually plat lots, it seems like it should start at will serve. I mean, that's just, to me, that's a logical demarcation. So, especially if the developer is bearing the cost of the professional fees associated with designing and engineering the expansion, developing the source capacity, things like that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I guess if we're careful enough maybe to really pass all of those expenses on, then that might be true if the district ends up covering any part of that,
right,
whether it's time or effort or
yeah,
equipment running around to do things. It may mean maybe we get down to whatever the real nickel and dimes are that we're actually spending on that part of it. Might be the only way to really
right, and that may be undue burden on the district. So
yeah, and I think we talked about differences of cost and development and standby fees and things like that, and for the summit where they brought all the infrastructure for the most part, their effort is different than possibly somebody even like the people in Powder West or even Mike. Some of the resources is already there. But it's the well is already available now. That's where impact fees should, the calculated property should come in and help recover some of those costs, mm-hmm, of developing whatever resources that he needs, and then that's recovered by each lot when they pay their standby or their impact fees. Again, maybe we just need to look a little harder and see if those are all extremely accurate.
Right.
So.
Okay, trustees, what do you want to do here?
So for right now, I'm still sort of recommending we stick with them unless you have a better funding process or mechanism that's going to make sure we're not drawing from the people's money and helping the development process along.
I want to just bring up Mr. Hamilton.
Sure.
From a legal perspective, based on the what we've done and given the first letter versus the will serve, I can't remember the name.
Feasibility.
Yeah.
Well, I think Roy has explained it well, is the timing. It sounds like this situation is unique in the fact that the feasibility letters were issued long before will serve letters were going to be issued. Most of the time, I think feasibility letters are going to be issued, and then, I mean, they're receiving a benefit at that point in time. Because of the close proximity they have to the system and the fact they have a feasibility letter, makes the property much more marketable for them, even if they don't have a final plat, like an individual lot. But that's really what you're charging for. I mean, that's the principle that you got to keep in mind, and that's why I laid this out kind of just in a really short fashion, is the reason why you're allowed to charge a standby fee is that they are receiving a service even though they're not getting water at that point in time. Even though they're not getting that water service, they're receiving a service because of the close proximity to the system and the ability to get water from the system.
But if there's no capacity, I think that's where that falls flat.
Yeah, there's no ability.
I agree with that, but I think we got to be careful there, because we're not ensuring that it's not like you're paying to get a ticket to actually be part of the system. You're paying for the opportunity to be part of the system when you're ready to be part of the system. And we can't foresee when that's gonna happen. And then if you do have a situation where there's a big gap in time, you can't make that assurance that they can connect.
We ran into that with Sundown.
Right.
And some of the other developers went along for decades and held on to resources for them, took care of the wells, all the legal work on it and everything else, and now drilling a million, 2 million plus well with water lines, so they can now have service. And so you potentially could sit on that type of a development, waiting to provide resources and taking care of them, and then it's still, they come in with the value. It's all added to the system, they're ready to get going.
Sundown had a will serve letter.
Yeah, I think they don't have it for
Sundown
all.
Sundown does not have a will serve letter.
No. So let me chime in. Yeah. You know, I've been thinking about this, and here's what I remember. Sitting in that seat right there, Rachel advised the board the way to proceed with the request from either Jeff or from Greg, who sat in that seat right there. I can't remember everything, but I'm pretty clear on that this is the way we go under the circumstances with the water. And there was an agreement made at the time with that particular chairman and this board that we would go ahead under those parameters to move forward. This to me is not at all, anyway, personal. Really, it was a mechanism, as I understood it, as a new guy on the board, that Summit could then get some more investment in their development. And we wanted them to have more investment. I really want them to succeed. I've got no issue with them being able to succeed. I'm just saying that's the way I remember it. And so, Roy, you're saying, you know, we're kind of at a little, to me, this is a little, I understand what you're saying. It's kind of a little bit of a technicality. But hold on just a second. So really what we're talking about is, I don't know whether or not Jeff or Greg were successful in securing some additional funds for the development. And if that's the case, and I had heard they did, because with another hat on, I know that they were made whole or satisfied some other agreements that they've had. But I'm not going to speak to that in here. But that, I didn't hear that directly from them. So that's, I've only heard that via other ways. So, you know, I think we have to give ourselves some credit as a board, or a board of trustees, because we did the right thing to help them get some credit. Now we're stuck here, though, in a technicality. And I want them to succeed. I want every development to have a similar privilege or opportunity to succeed up there. But I don't want to cheat them, but I don't want to cheat us. So what's fair? We're just talking about money.
Just?
Money?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you're trusting.
You're right.
We're just talking about money. So where do we go? That's the, and where it is.
You're trustees of an entity and you have fiduciary duties. And what my biggest concern when I started doing work for Powder Mountain is that I saw that there have always been these side deals. And there has to become some uniformity with the way you raise fees. Exactly. And this was, my hope was that by putting together the policy with regard to the standby fees, that we were trying to create some uniformity. If we want to tweak it now, I can understand that and appreciate that. But we got to have uniformity, because that's what the opinion says by the property ombudsman. We got it. I mean, similar situated properties have to be treated the same, or else you're getting yourself in a situation where you can be sued. So, you know, I've written a letter just last month for you on your behalf, enforcing standby fees with the development. I want to continue to help you try to, because I just heard Trustee Harvey, Chairman Harvey expressed concern about money and the ongoing expenses of the district.
So the sundown, and I assume that's what you're referring to, there was no source capacity for that, right? I mean,
we believe that there is source capacity, but their complaint was the feasibility letter specifically said that there may need to be potential development of source capacity. And we wrote back and said, you know, we've got source capacity, and yes, we are, because the district's always going to be trying to, if the district's going to continue to grow, it's always going to be looking for different source capacity.
I'm going to allow that more or less it's not official. I mean, it's not official. It's just an agenda, and I'll use that word just again so I'm consistent. But I'll allow the petitioner to take a couple of minutes, or what my observe of the petitioner, but just a couple of minutes, Don. You can't go for an hour and a half like you did in the last meeting.
I kind of disagree with what you just said, because what I wanted to say earlier is I don't see this as a precedent-setting thing, quite honestly, because I don't know that the district, around to your point, in hopefully a matter of 2 weeks, we're going to double the capacity off the one well. And we've got two additional wells, one of which we're going to be building a pump house this summer for. So I don't know that you're going to put yourself in a position where you're issuing these letters without the source capacity being there. I think you're probably going to second guess pretty heavily issuing a feasibility in the future if you don't really have the source capacity. So I see this as an issue more on a look back, because we didn't want to pay for the last 4 months. You know, when the capacity wasn't there, because we couldn't move forward in the process. So we didn't see that value because the capacity wasn't there, and everyone said there's no capacity. So we didn't really see the value. I don't think it's precedent.
So, excuse me, let me chime in, but this is probably your argument. But when you're a public entity, that's, as I understand it, not correct. You do one thing, you set a precedence. That's different from being a private entity. When you're a public entity, you do one thing and you set a precedence. Whether it happens one time or 100 times, that's the in my mind, I've had to draw just to be,
yes.
For you, coming from the private sector, I've had to learn that. I've always been very, very careful, because it's, sorry, I'm trying to say this, not cowboy. You can get stuck.
That was the wrong choice of words. I just don't think you're going to put yourself in this position. So when I say precedent,
I get what you're saying.
I don't think it's going to be an ongoing issue. But.
Right. That's why I was singling it out. I think this is a unique situation. I wasn't the attorney for the district when this deal with Summit was made, but my understanding is that Summit came to the district saying they wanted and needed the feasibility letters issued.
They did. I don't know that at that time. Again, it was the other people that were sitting in the chair. If they knew, I think a lot of things have transpired since then, you know, including lack of capacity and including, I don't know if Pizzle was down at that point or not, but the circumstances have changed. Had they known that they'd pay multiple months of a fee times unplatted lots and we wouldn't be able to move forward in the process, my assumption is they probably wouldn't have asked for that.
Well,
not in those terms.
They did.
I could be wrong.
No. They didn't. I don't. I'm gonna say this, just how the cow chews the cabbage. I never met anybody in my whole life that had the creativity of the fellas that were sitting in that red chair. So that was, and that's meant to be a compliment.
Yeah.
That's meant to be a compliment, but I don't know how many. That won't work. I don't know how many times we said that won't work, and they kept back. I never met anybody. I mean, it was amazing.
I remember the internal discussions just sitting through our development meetings, and what I took away from it was it wasn't an attempt to try to raise financing, because they certainly didn't do that.
That's just what I remember.
Yeah, what they were trying to do was get preliminary approval from the county so they could move the development process forward and get to the point that they could actually have platted lots to sell. And they overlooked the massive hurdle of going through the state approval, and the state is not going to approve a platted subdivision without source capacity. And that was their biggest error. And so...
Trustees, I got a thought. You know, we've had petitioners in our office. Excuse me. We've had petitioners in our meetings, one by one, ask for different things.
Ask for what? I'm sorry.
Dave asked for different things.
Yeah.
We had to go through we found a whole bunch of people who weren't paying down in whatever, was it Sheep Creek?
Sheep Creek.
And one by one, we went through and we did the assessments, and most paid or so. I mean, it was a one by one by one. It was a painful deal. But we're, you know, this district has cleaned up a ton of things, and we're not done because we're here today. But what I'd like to maybe, my impression right now is we deal with this as a specific item, we deal with it again. Blake, this will be setting a precedence. If it comes up again with a specific item, trusting that we'll have a source, but again, we're on the money, and so really, we can say, tough, you pay all the money, or we can say, okay, we're gonna basically, every person sitting around this table, except for me because I don't live there, is gonna have to pay a little from this. Because of the way we've set the budget. So maybe we do whatever we do won't be enough. And to me, you gave us some what you wanted to be, you know, last month. That spreadsheet was very clear on what your goals were. Yeah. Don, you go ahead.
One thing I didn't add to, after our last meeting, bear with me, when we left the meeting, I probably haven't thought about this through the holidays until the drive down. I was like, oh, what did we talk about? One of the things that I at least talked to Mark internally, thought I might have left you a message or a text about it, is, you know, we had paid for those taps. I think I made this point. I think I might have even said one of our asks would be, we paid cash for taps that we have then since been paying standby fees on. We know that the standby fees that we paid are water under the bridge. We reserve that capacity. Those taps we paid cash for, and I forget the exact amount of money. I think we paid for half of them.
$190 second half something. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What happens if instead of waiving these fees, the standby that we owe you, we get credited back for those taps? So those taps we would give back to the district. Those are yours. The cash that we paid for those taps would get credited against our outstanding fees that we owe you for those standby fees. And we would waive the amount that would be owed to us is more than what we owe you, but we would waive the balance, and we just say, here, the tap's back, and you guys credit us back these fees. You don't change your policy, or maybe you do, I don't know, that's your call. But because, hopefully, knock on glass over wood, the state will give us the answer that we need within the next couple of weeks, and it will be a non-issue moving forward.
Trustees' comments.
Can I make another?
Please, Mr. Hamilton.
Let me make a suggestion. I don't think it'd be wise to change the policy because of this one situation. Because I think if you change this policy for this one situation, unless you want to move forward in a uniform fashion with that being the understanding, then I guess you can. But I wouldn't change. I would separate the two issues. I would decide we're going to stick with the policy that we have, and then we can try to work this out in a way that doesn't create a precedent where we have a situation where the district is stuck because they gave a variance or whatever to Summit. And that would be how I would approach this. I would approach this in a way where we have the policy, we're sticking with the policy, we're willing to consider this situation and consider a request for a variance, and we try to figure out a solution to this issue.
What's the impact of this proposal that was just made by Don on the taps? Because I don't understand.
Those taps,
on those
they went
down
south.
30, yeah, they did, and they went, that was
way south.
20, 30 years ago. Well, no, 2006, excuse me, when the agreement was done. So, what, 12 years ago or something like that? And all I have record of is the showing one payment of $397,000, I think it was.
It was half that we actually paid.
And then they got half back, $192,000 or something like that.
Hold on. I took that out, so let's do this. And that is Western.
What's that going to do for the half of the 30 that Powder Ridge?
So I'm looking at $195,000.
Maybe another suggestion?
Yeah.
Instead of doing the barter here in the middle of a board meeting, that we move forward, and again, we're talking about policy here. We're talking about discussion
policy
and action on feasibility process and standby fees. If you're not wanting to change the policy, then I think we make the decision, we're not changing the policy, but we're giving staff and council, legal counsel, the permission to go and work with Summit to see if we can come back with a potential resolution to this one specific issue at the future board meeting. That way you're not sitting around here as trustees.
Well, the only comment I'll make on that is, because I try to be as impartial as I possibly can, and I look at this situation, I think we've still got a flawed policy. And when I look forward thinking about potentially Yamagata's 300 units that we're not going to have capacity for, but they're going to go through the same process where they're going to try to build value in that land so they can potentially either develop them themselves or sell it. And the development of capacity is going to be a long timeline. And I think we're going to be staring down the barrel of the same gun, 6, 8, 10, 12 months from now, whenever they decide what they're going to do.
So then give me some ideas about where, as a board, you would like the policy to be as far as when do we start standby fees.
No, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, and I don't know if it's something we need to address tonight. I think probably the action we should take tonight is have a working group to come up with a proposal to put in front of you to see if it passes legal muster that isn't going to put us in a position where we're being asked to help a developer in our district move forward with their process when we know we don't have capacity, which is kind of the long and short of what happened.
My short answer to that might be this. Why then would you ever issue the feasibility letter if you don't have the capacity?
Because I think there's something in the development timeline of the county that requires it before you can move forward with a, because ideally you would want to be moving forward with a platting document submittal concurrently with developing your source to reduce your time so you can hopefully get a return on your money sooner.
But if you were concerned as a district that you wouldn't be able to have the source capacity by the time they completed in a normal development process, you wouldn't be issuing the feasibility letter at that time. I mean, I think if the district is managing itself well and is working on developing source capacity, that even if when you have a situation where you may not have the exact capacity to fill the request, you're willing to say, we're issuing a feasibility letter because we believe by the time you have that, we will have the capacity.
Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly right.
And instead of having a situation where you have years go by or a year plus go by.
Mike, do you have any comments here?
Yeah, I think this is a unique situation in that the district had, what, 27 something years of deferred maintenance, deferred infrastructure improvement, and Pizzle failed, Summit comes along. This is like a perfect storm for everything that's happened. I don't think it's gonna reoccur. I don't like having to pay it, but I'm not gonna say anything because I was super grateful to get the feasibility letter when I got it.
I just want to help the district become. You can't continue to do just side deal after side deal, that then everyone moves on and then no one has any understanding what that side deal was.
Right. No, I'm not suggesting it as a side deal. I'm suggesting it as an amended process and policies.
So. I like your idea about the work group and let's figure out maybe a better way to structure when the standby fee. But I think you keep the policy in place that you have right now until that work group is ready to propose other times, and then you give staff and legal counsel the opportunity to work with Summit to see if we can reach a resolution to this one.
I'm good with that. So now I'm going to, before I ask for a motion, trustees, is this a situation where I need to publicly ask anybody to recuse?
I would if they're.
Yeah.
So I'm. No. Are there any who would volunteer to recuse themselves, trustees?
I do. I recuse myself from this.
Trustee Squirtell?
I do as well.
Trustee Moyal, thank you. With that, I would entertain a motion from either one of the other two trustees.
Bob make the motion.
This is going to sound a little familiar from the motion that was made from Hawaii a month ago. I move that within 30 days that a working group be convened and have concrete recommendations based on conversations relative to this specific issue with Summit Developing and in consultation with our district manager and with our legal counsel to provide us with guidance on where we move forward on this particular issue, including recommendations on policy changes, if need be.
I have a motion.
I would separate out that the working group is working towards the policy, that staff and legal counsel are working towards a resolution with Summit.
Okay.
I agree with that. I have a motion. So you're willing to amend your motion
yes.
to include that? And second. A second. I'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The motion carries. I'd now like to assign a working group. Volunteers for that working group. May I ask those...
We can talk about why dogs lick themselves.
Thank you, and I appreciate
point.
That. Before I do that, we had two trustees abstain from the vote.
This is all me.
I ask them to participate, either one, on a working group?
Absolutely, because the working group is with respect to the policy, not with respect to the resolution of the summit.
Trustees Moyal and Trustee Scrutel, would either or both of you like to be on the working group?
I
have two trustees. I'd like a third trustee on the working group, not being the chair. Thank you, Trustee Wilson. Will the three trustees, Wilson, Scrutel, and Moyal, convene at your own convenience within the next 30 days and work with staff to come up with a better idea. So to present to the board, whether that's in the next meeting or the meeting after that. That work? Great.
And I'm happy to be a resource.
Yep.
Can I have a collective hallelujah? Yeah. Okay, fine. We'll move on to item number 12. Discussion and or action for funding of the water line.
Okay, if you look at number 12 in your packet, you'll see this is the application to get funding from the Division of Board of Water Resources for the water line, to get water from the new well up to up on the mountain. Looked this over several times and beat up the directions we should go with the water line and how to actually get this to be affordable. Started out at $5 million and got it down to one. here was the final decision, myself and Jed and also with Paul. And actually, I think I ran this by Ron too, and he was over. We felt that the existing water line from the new well to up to just right about in the sundown area is probably still in usable shape because it's the same life as the one actually in the resort. And so we're going to, in the next little while, we're going to actually pressurize that, fill it full of water and pressurize and pressure test and find out. And if we find a leak or so, we might fix them. But what our thought is that that probably will work in the interim. The reason we're considering, and then we'd have to renovate the old black building, and we would use that black building as the booster station. The reason we would do that is because if we modify that building, then we've got to go to the county for all kinds of approvals and site plans and everything else. We're just modifying the existing building. It saves us a lot of money. And also redesigning the building, reconstructing on the side of that road is just expensive. So this will get us water out of the well as quick as we get a pump test done and get a well and it gets water in the lines, get a booster pump put back in the building, get it renovated, and then push water up to the water line on the mountain up by the resort and up by the lodges. And then we thought about what's the best thing to do, and I'll maybe ask you to give me some feedback on this, Mark. But we felt at that point then there were some areas around the lodge and then feeding up to the timberline tank, which we would propose keeping in operation, still usable. Everything's working fine. We feel like we'd probably still go in and re-sanitize, maybe even put a new, almost tough shed over the top of it, very easy and quick. And there's still adequate storage there. The state recognized that as part of our storage system. But we would push water up the hill to that point, and then there would be another booster station at about that point. You can see on this blue line on the drawing. Would actually feed some water back to the timberline tank, but it also would push the rest of the way up until it got right where the existing newer water lines are at up by Powder Ridge. There's a couple things that we're worried about. It's not that hard to fix the water lines down along the road if anything were to go wrong, but our one big fear is if we blow out a water line in the middle of winter out in the middle of that ski resort, and we're going to be out there with a device digging in the middle of the ski runs, and it's just all bad. And so what we are seeking to do is to move that water line out of the runs, ski runs, and off of the middle of the resort, and then over onto, I guess it's called Timberline Lodge Trail. And during the summertime, work in there, get it all put back together and revegetated, and that would give us a safer place to have the line. It's a little more consistent in its elevations going up, better grades, and also more, it'd be easier to fix and work on if the line broke. We're not in the middle of a ski resort. And then that would renovate that entire line from the bottom to the top. The line's up on top from Hidden Lake Well and reservoirs are good all the way down, and fairly new all the way, and plenty of volume all the way down past the Powder Ridge Lodges. We'd still have to figure out what we're doing on Mike's. We're also, as you can see, I think there was one more booster station. I thought there was three. Where did I see the other one? One, two. Oh, there's one over in here. We'd get water up to Mike's place. That way we can actually push water back up to the entire system. We have a way, basically the pump would sit there and pump against the lines. Pressure regulators would hold it hold pressure on it going downhill, and we'd just be feeding the system. That way, if it goes down, we've renovated the line. We have good flow back all the way to Killer to Powder West in case fire, whatever, and you've got that line fixed from Hidden Lake all the way back down to the lower developments. And if for some reason the line going from the new well up to that point fails, you're off for a period of time. It's probably about $200,000 to $300,000, and we're maybe even in-house repairing the line. So that was the thought behind it all. We felt that that's the better fix, and we would be careful in how we pressurize the line and how and when we use it. And we'd still plan to maybe in our yearly capital projects to do sections of that line, get it all renovated over time, put a brand new one in.
You would need additional easements, presumably.
I think we'd try and see if we can swap easements. I mean, we have an easement right now, according to the records I've seen in the resort, going all the way up the mountain. We just suggest
that's not a lodge trail, though, right?
Yeah, no.
I mean, I guess my question is, if the goal is to get it into a more accessible location, why wouldn't we just run it parallel to the road?
Because there's probably, unless we could get an easement off the edge of the road, I don't know how hard it would, looks like it'd be difficult to dig right there. That's the one thing we looked at. We talked about even putting it in the road, and then we started saying, well, if we did that, we would totally destroy access to that mountain.
Yeah.
So that doesn't work at all. So we can't use the public right of way.
The only reason I ask is because Lodge Trail is an active ski trail too. It's not just a
road.
So you know, you're kind of swapping one ski trail for another. It's a lesser grade, and it would be easier to get a piece of equipment in. Mm-hmm. But
it's called Lodge Trail for a reason. Anyone that snowboards or skis up there, that's the trail.
It's a great run.
Right. Yeah. So that is the return trail to Timberline Lodge. Right.
So what's your thought? That is probably every bit as busy as any of the rest of the resort.
It's probably actually busier than the trail that the existing.
So if we stayed off of the road, you're thinking we're fine with putting it probably wherever. If we could run up the edge of that road, we're going to be fighting the sewer systems right near the edge.
Yeah. So I think if you went on the other side of the riprap swale that the county put in when they constructed the road, if you went uphill from that, I think you should go up and look at it, and see whether we think it's feasible to put it in there, but I think that would be your better location, because then you can get a vehicle right to it. You don't have to worry about
snow.
I mean, you still have snow there. It's going to be the same amount of snow. It's just not going to be as compacted because it's not as green.
Yeah, maybe if we could stay off the road. The one thing, again, we're worried about being on that road, it is so busy with equipment running around.
Right.
If we take up any part of that, it's just going to be a nightmare for people up there doing work.
Right.
A nightmare or an inconvenience. But remember, technology now allows us, and if this is on a positive pressure or a pump, it doesn't have to be excavated the whole way. It can now be with that.
It's augered in.
Yeah, we. Mm-hmm. Vermeer is the name of the machine, but it'll until you have to put another manhole in, or you know, you have to check it every so often. But that's a possibility.
I wonder if you guys have been around construction. Do you think there's ever a way you could pull a poly line up there with a ripper? There's too much rock.
Well, they pull or push on those
side hills too.
Yeah, but they can. It's amazing what those things can do now. And it's, what is it? Every 500 feet, you got to have a line. And how many miles is it from where we need to go and where we need to end?
Along that route, probably about a mile.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so you got 5 or 6 manholes.
Isn't that where they run the fiber though?
Fibers run it. Well, the fiber is actually under the road.
Okay.
They didn't actually run the fiber. They did that when they paved the road. So it's just the handholes for the fiber are basically in the riprap swale. So
we definitely want to stay out of the oil because of the zigzagging sewer line. It'd be impossible and the road interference. But if we could find a way to stay along that edge,
There's an existing line from Timberline Tank to Hidden Lake, the small, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Is that not serviceable? That was a pressurized line. That was a 4-inch line.
Yeah, that's it was to hopefully to get it over in a place that's a little more accessible. Maybe Mark's comments, we were hoping to get it in Lodge Trail or somewhere we could actually get to it, but maybe Mark's comments are right. If we can find a way to get up the edge of that, still be accessible from the road without a lot of effort, would be better than being up in the resort anywhere.
Yeah.
This is a stage project, right? In lieu of financing issues and uncertainty relative to the amount of water that's actually at Powder Mountain Well.
So our plan is to get, look at this design, say we have something, we'll go to Water Resources and try and get funding. Now they may not fund us, the community block grant fund group, they actually could fund us. If not, the biggest thing is interest rates, where the state's actually at. If we can stay down around 1.1 or 2 with the state, that's good. If you start getting closer to 2%, there's other places to go to get money according to.
But you think you need to replace that line from talking Timberline Reservoir to the top of Hidden Lake?
We have to. Its life expectancy is 40 years, and it's at 40 years.
And I've heard some bad stories about that when it was originally put in.
It's a prize winner. I'm just saying, if we're looking at logistical issues that could be problematic,
mm-hmm.
it seems to have serviced us for a while.
It still is.
It's downhill flow to my house. That's where that water comes from Hidden Lake Well,
mm-hmm.
down that previously pressurized line to Timberline.
Mm-hmm.
That's on a valve there, and that's what's feeding water. So it's not leaking too bad, or we would have known that. I mean, it's not pressurized, it's gravity fed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I don't know. I mean,
well, we've got to get out for funding. This seemed to be the best thing to start to get fixed. Again, if we see there's real problems, we actually gives us the option of moving down, getting in the road and fixing that, maybe leaving that in operation. We've got to get connected into the system to say we've got the other well and it's running.
Yeah,
we'll be injecting it into the mains.
From where I sit, this is the beauty of multiple people looking at this project, putting multiple sets of engineering eyes on this through the RFQ proposal process. Mm-hmm. Get everybody in to sort of think. You can't ask me or Mark or Mike to provide the engineering on this, I don't think.
I have a question, though. We can actually leave the whole system in,
uh-huh.
and then go, like Mark said, above the swale. There's only one driveway, which is Powder Ridge's driveway, to be replaced because you're already passing Moon Ridge. And then you can actually go through my property like I proposed, and then when you're ready to tie in, you have two systems. You could keep one as a backup, the one that's being used for the gravity fed, and then you pressurize a new line that when it's ready to tie in, then, or I always call it a redundancy, the tying into the fire hydrant,
uh-huh.
in Powder Ridge.
Should we be planning the route in this meeting?
That's no.
Shouldn't that be worked?
It's exactly
Mark and you and the engineer, and hell, I'm not an engineer.
There's Newton, but even any colors to pick.
We don't even have the blue one. I just don't think this is the place to do that.
Okay.
I mean,
well, I don't think it is either. And we're suggesting we're going to go ahead.
Is this the funding that you need in March?
Mm-hmm. We've got to move ahead with either work on that or the water line coming up the mountain and get that water out of the well and inject it in. Either way,
sure,
it will work.
Sure, that's got to be done.
That's really all we're asking for. I'm just showing you this is what we're looking at. We're either going to fix that line or we're going to fix the existing line coming up the road. All we need is authorization to go after funding. When we get it, how we use it, whether we actually use the money is up to us. So that's why we're here, is to say, give us authorization to go get the money. We'll figure out how to get it in and get it running.
It's a point A to point B problem. That's why they hire engineers and managers.
Yeah.
So, Jim, can you...
I'm
looking for a motion on number 12.
I'll entertain a motion for number 12.
I move that we authorize the district manager to obtain funding for the waterline project.
I have a motion.
A second.
And a second. Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So we're good. There you go. How about that?
That was easy enough.
Okay. Yeah.
Shouldn't have ever asked a question about
the easement. Shouldn't have even brought those stupid drawings to the meeting.
So sure.
Discussion and or action for attendance for the Utah Waterways and Water Law. That's coming up here.
Yep. Just double checking who's going to attend that meeting. We've had some of you say you want to go to the water user meeting, and there's also the water law meeting on Monday. The Utah Water Users the next couple of days after. And then if this funding is considered, then Thursday the Department of Water Resources will actually be, Division of Drinking Water will be looking at our proposal. We need to be there anyway, at least I do, and maybe one of the trustee or something. So what's your pleasure? We do have room set aside. Okay.
I can't, but I would love to. It's everybody that has a chance should go. It's a wonderful meeting.
I want to go, but I may only be able to attend. The 12th is a Tuesday, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I may only be able to get down there Tuesday night, be up to the 13th, and then come home after that. So I may only be able to stay the night of the 12th. I'd go down, attend the meetings on the 13th. I maybe come home the morning of the 14th, but that's...
Okay. Sounds good. Just let Carrie know for sure how it turns out for you, and we'll make sure
you understand that, Carrie. I'll drive. I got a commission meeting that I need to statutorily attend, and then drive down. Be there the night of the 12th, be there the 13th, and then I'll come home the early morning. I'll just leave about 4 o'clock.
Okay, well, I've already reserved the room, so
Yeah, well, I don't want us to pay more than we need to.
No, and I've got the applications. I'll get them all filled out and get them in, and then I'll get you the agenda and all that other stuff, so.
Great.
Mark, you go?
March.
March.
Oh, yeah, you'll still be in the middle of everything with the mic.
I'd like to try to do Monday, Tuesday.
Unless any of you want, okay. If you change your mind, you want to go down Tuesday night, come back. I drive very cautiously.
I just said, but I thought you could say very fast.
Do you need any sort of action on that?
No, it's for reservations.
It says in our policies, the board has to approve the expenses of those who are going.
I'll ask for a motion to approve the expenses for those who are going.
I make a motion to approve the expenses for those. To be paid for by Jim Harvey's Apple Pay.
And a second. All in favor? No, but you acknowledge, so I didn't touch my phone. It's just the magic of radio. Okay. Let's continue, trustees, if we can, to go to. We've got that a resolution on annexation approval, item number 14, please.
By the way, everything is completed on the annexation. We got held up by the county, unfortunately, for a few days and missed the deadline getting it to the Lieutenant Governor's office, and they made us at least come back and re-sign, get the dates re-signed on it. So then we'll resubmit. So
it wasn't because of lack of effort. There was lots of calls made. In fact, I finally got the Chief Civil County Attorney, Chris Crockett, involved and got the plat finally back from the county, but it took a lot to get the plat back from the county.
I'm sorry, but it wasn't 4 years, and so let's just go.
We are, and so when I submitted it, I submitted with a letter explaining, and was hopeful of the Lieutenant Governor, but they wanted the resolution redone, but that's all that needs to be done, and then I can just resubmit with the resolution and the plat and be done.
Can I ask Don Guerra a question, Mr. Chairman, while we're on the subject? So on annexations, this thing has been just crazy and it gets expensive again. Do you ever consider just annexing a lot of that your rest of your development into the district?
Or well, last time I think we did we didn't do it just a pure subdivision. We did a large, call it a master parcel, an unsubdivided parcel. I don't think that we did the extremities of the property, but I think we took care of everything that's going to be in phase two and phase three.
That'll be many years down the road, you think?
I think so. That was a conversation we had with Rick.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I mean, I saw it was, I don't think we're going to be doing another annexation in the next year.
Yeah, the bounds of the annex property that I saw, you're going to be years out before we have to add anything else.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It just was such a process to go through and time everybody's looking at it, engineers back and forth, and us and our legal team. It gets so expensive, about $25,000 into this thing, and I think, oh man, it seems like one, you got to annex everything once and get it over with and never do it again. It'd be so much easier, just a nice big square boundary covering everything.
That's the sense that we did, was a square boundary. Like I said, I don't think it covered all our property, but I mean, a lot of our property is ski runs, it's not going to be developed. It was a big chunk of what actually is planned in our DRR1 for development.
So. I see. Okay.
Okay, very good. Let's, do we need an annexation approval? And if so, it's by resolution?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just signed them, so we just need to make sure.
Just make a motion. Just sign the resolution, it looks like. So.
Well,
I move that we.
I don't want to do that ever
I'm
again.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead and say thanks, Bob.
I move that we readopt the resolution 2019-03 for annexation approval.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. It's a resolution, trustees. So, Carrie, if you'll conduct that roll call vote.
Trustee Wilson?
Yes.
Trustee Barrett?
Yes.
Trustee Shortell?
Yes.
Trustee Moyle?
Yes.
Trustee Harvey?
Aye. Thank you. Item number 15 is a discussion and or action for notice of impending boundary for resolution 2019-3.
So you just need to make a motion again with respect to the notice. Remember,
this is on the same thing.
Yes, the same thing.
I move that we adopt notice of impending boundary for resolution 2019-03.
Second.
Carrie, go ahead.
Trustee Wilson? Trustee Barrett?
Aye.
Trustee Chertel?
Aye.
Trustee Moyle?
Aye.
Trustee Harvey?
Aye. I like the fact, trustees, that we're, according to the state, we're doing this legal, legitimately, and there's no cause for any ethics problems. I realize it's still, for heaven's sakes, but...
It's early in the meeting, Jim.
Yeah, sorry. Carrie and Trustee Wilson, item number G on our agenda, please.
All right, I'll just go through the financials really quick with you, and then Trustee Wilson can chat. PTIF account's got 122 in it. We did open a separate account according to the budget and the PTIF. We opened another one just so we could have the funds set aside for the bond, which we legally had to have. So there's going to be, I told them to transfer the $25,000. That's something that will never be touched. That's our bond reserve.
Got
okay?
it.
So anyway, then you've got your three accounts through Zions. 69 in the one, the impact fees got the 24 in it, and then the bond has nothing, of course, got nothing in it because we don't have anything coming out yet. And then the budgets versus actuals, I will take you through, and it, for some reason it printed out in November and I didn't notice that until just now, so I'll have to get you an updated copy. But once we get the budget put in, according to what we have right now in the budget, we're good. I mean, we haven't overspent anything yet, so, but I'll get that updated and get a copy of it to you.
Trustee Wilson, any comments there?
No, not comments about that, but we have some problems where the bylaws and the policies and procedures aren't congruent. They call for different people doing different things. And I'm going to work with the staff and try to get the bylaws and
I have the wrong
and the policies and procedures so they're in sync. So because one place I'm the treasurer, and then the policies and procedures, it calls for the general manager to be the treasurer. So there.
Thank you for getting that squared up.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that aren't congruent. We're going to have to work with Blake also on that, because some of the things that were put together, it's boilerplate. There's no doubt about it. And we got to reflect the way that this organization operates. For example, okay, you know, it calls out certain days when checks have to go to the bank, like Tuesdays and Thursdays. Well, she's not doing that. And we need to make the procedures and the policies reflect what the normal operating business that we're doing. So I'm going to work with Roy and Carrie, and we'll do track changes, we'll redline it, and then get it back to the board for the board to take a look at and adapt.
Thank you so
awesome.
Much.
Awesome.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Any other comments, trustees? Moving on to item number H on our agenda. Excuse me. I think G has just repeated itself twice. The district's financial, including budget versus actual. Page 2. Check register, liens, and the bank balances were reviewed.
Mm-hmm. They just traveled down.
Okay. Can we then go to item number H then?
Mm-hmm.
Item H, hotel. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn this public meeting for a closed strategy session to discuss the acquisition of real property, including any form of water right and any pending or reasonable imminent litigation.
I'll make a motion to adjourn the closed session.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.